North Pacific West State. God, let's just release the sound tonight. I want you to look at your region tonight. I want you to look at this northwest region of the USA. I want you to look at this state and begin to dream with God. Begin to call out that which you want to see established in this place. Begin to call in the Spirit. Let's just begin to pray out. Let's just begin to pray, even as we've been singing. Father, we want to see a release of the new sound of God over this place. Father, we want to see a glory house in this place. Father, release the new sound of God tonight. Lord, we're calling on you tonight. We're calling on you, God. We're calling on you for the northwest of America. Father, release a new sound of your love and your grace and your mercy. Wash these streets with your love tonight, God. We're crying out to you. We're calling upon you, God. Be gracious again, Father. We're asking you for a fresh visitation, Father. We're asking you for a fresh outpouring of your Spirit tonight. God, we're praying for this state of Washington. We're praying for America. Let there be a fresh outpouring of your Spirit, God. Let there be a fresh outpouring of your Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you that we have the privilege to partner with you. Thank you, Father, that you call us to be hand in hand with you, shoulder to shoulder, walking out and establishing that which you have said will be in heaven as it is on earth. And God, it's our privilege to do that tonight. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you for it. You know, as the musicians continue to play, I just want to share some praise reports of what we've been doing this week in prayer. We've had a prayer team walking the streets of Washington State. And we've had an amazing time of connection with heaven. And in a few moments, we're going to take up an offering. And that offering is an invitation to you to simply sow into prayer and sow into the harvest here in the Northwest. And we want to ask you to do that as an act of faith. You know, it's an opportunity just to say, God, I want a stake in all that you're doing in the Northwest and in Washington State and for the whole of America. And very practically, if you need an offering envelope for that, there's ushers here. If you just raise your hand, they will be able to get that to you. If you want to give by credit card, you can do that. If you want to make out a check, if you make it to Heart Cry for Change. And it will be our honor to just commit that and give that towards prayer in Washington State and the Northwest. But I want to share with you just what we've been doing. And we've had a sense to come to Washington State, to come to the Northwest region of the USA. Please do take a seat for a moment. If you want to indicate to the ushers that you need an envelope, that would be great. We've had a team here staking the ground over this last 3, 4, 5 days. And we've really had a sense to come and pray. And we've always had a mandate from God. And we've, as Heart Cry for Change, we've given 5 days every year, at least once a year, to Washington, D.C. And we've staked your capital city because we've cried out for right alignments there. And this time round, we were going to go to Washington, D.C., but we heard the Lord say, no, it's time from Washington to Washington. It's time to go to Washington State. And we've raised up that banner here in Washington State. And the mandate that God has given us really has been threefold: to establish right lines of government and order in this state, to call on him for his righteousness, for his right alignments to come into place. Secondly, to unlock the pioneer spirit of the Northwest. You know, we come from Oxford in the UK, and whenever you hear of Seattle particularly, you think pioneering, you think entrepreneur spirit, you think the big, you know, Costco's, you think Kirkland, you think Microsoft, you think all these organizations pioneering away. But you also think of great awakenings. How many of you know and remember the charismatic renewal that started Father Bennett in a church down in Seattle? in St. Luke's Church. And we wanted to unlock and unblock those wells of revival. So our third mandate was to awaken again the spiritual revivals that you've seen here in the state. How many of you know that when spiritual pioneering and natural pioneering come together, it's powerful and brings change for a state, for a region, for a nation? Many words of prophecy have come about the northwest of America, that the wind of God is going to blow again, that a new sound of God is going to come forth from the northwest USA and impact the whole of your nation. And we've come into alignment with that over the last 5 days. And so on Tuesday, we went up to your northern border and we spent time praying in Bellingham and praying at the Peace Arch there and praying for your nations of the USA and Canada and really calling on God to bring about a sense of His purpose, His plans, His partnerships in these days and to establish rightful peace. You know, biblical peace is not the absence of conflict, but it is the presence of the King of Kings. And we wanted to establish that right from the northern border down and to bless you as a nation and to come with you as the motherland, Britain. We had people from Britain there. We had people from the USA, people from the Native American tribes. And we just had such a sense of synergy there that the northern border was to be staked for God at this time. Then on Wednesday, we spent time in downtown Seattle. And we chose many different sites there. We had a bigger team and we spread out across the city. And we spent time just really calling upon God to bless this hot city, this amazing city of Seattle. And you know, God was just so gracious in many places to give us signs of His goodness in these days. Signs of what He's doing and reestablishing. And the encouragement for us was as we walked your streets, we know so much prayer has gone on in this state of Washington. So much has been done to uproot, to disentangle the enemy's plans. You know, you as intercessors know how much you've done, how much hard work you've done. And so our mandate was really to call on the destiny and call out the redemptive purpose of this region. We realized that so much has already been done to dethrone the enemy's plan. But it was our privilege to come and to call out the purposes of God. And then on Thursday, a team of us went over to Spokane, to the east gate of your state. How many of you know all through Scripture, the east is the place from which the glory of God comes, the river of God flows. And we had the privilege to stand there with people, pastors from Spokane as a city, and just call out to God again for that east gate to be opened up and for the wells of refreshing to come, for that east gate of your state to once again stand for righteousness, truth, and integrity, for that city to be staked for the glory of God. And there were some neat prophetic signs along the way. You know how when you're praying and when you're in line with what God is doing, God just gives you those prophetic signs. And for us, one of the major things that we prayed and called out was that a new sound, the new sound of heaven would be released over this region at this time. The sound of redemption, the sound of harvest, the sound of healing, the sound of favor, the sound of grace for a city. And echoing that, we just, all through our journey this week, we've had the sound of bells and the name of bells coming up time and time again. So on Monday, as we gathered to strategize as a team and to pray together as a team before we went out, we met in Bellevue. Then on Tuesday, we went up to your northern border and we suddenly realized we were gathering in Bellingham. On Wednesday, we went downtown in downtown Seattle and a church graciously gave us permission to park for free all day in downtown Seattle to enable us to do what we were called to do as a team. And we were in Belltown. Then on Thursday, as we went to Spokane and we stood in the city center of Spokane, and God began to say, now I'm ringing out the new sound over this land. Now from the east gate, I'm releasing a new sound over this region, a new sound over the state. And suddenly the clock tower began to ring, and we realized we were standing under the bell tower. How many of you can say, only God can do those things? And then today we went over to Mercer Island and prayed there, and we blessed Israel. We blessed the Jewish community of your precious state. We blessed when we stood in alignment with Israel and we called out again the destiny of America to be the protector of Israel in these days, to come into alignment again with the purposes of God. And we called on Him and we asked Him to come. And because of some of the fears of what might happen in downtown Seattle. There was a lot of police presence there. And so we felt that the rear guard was with us all the way. But as we prayed, something neat happened. The police arrived on their bicycles and they began to ring their bells. Thank you, Jesus. That was just one of many neat signs. Another profound thing that we felt, which is the mandate that God had given us to pray from Washington to Washington, was that we felt he was, and many, many of our team brought this word, that God was again reminding us of the rainbow of his covenant over your nation. And that picture of the rainbow was so profound. And as we met and we declared that, we realized the Supreme Court was meeting for a different reason. And that in these days we wanted to reclaim that symbol of the rainbow as a sign of the covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. And as we did that and we prayed it and we declared it on the northern border, we then went out and went back to return to the car, to the parking lot. Sorry, I'm in American English parking lot. And as we went out, they were laying the new flower beds and establishing, you know, those ornate gardens that they have up in the Peace Arch area. And they were putting out the new spring flowers. And as we did that, Rachel just spoke to the gardeners and she said, "So what color have you picked for the display in the garden this year? What color of flowers are you picking?" Very often colors speak of something prophetic. So we were maybe expecting perhaps yellow, the glory of God, or red, the blood of Christ. And they said, "Oh no, this year we've selected a variety of colors." And so we said, "Oh really, just all the different colors?" And they said, "Yes, we felt to plant a rainbow of colors in this nation." How neat is that? Just some of the prophetic signs that God was showing us at this time. You know, if you want the full report of the prayer walk, many, many stories, but also some of the key points we felt from the different regions of staking the north and the east gate, please do give your details, just your email address, to Glenda at the book table later, because we're going to write up a full report of this time, and we'd love to email that to you so that you can join with what has been declared and prophesied and established this week. Is that okay? But I wonder if you could stand for a moment with me, please. And if you would be prepared to do this, the ushers have kindly brought baskets forward for your to receive your offering. But you know, it's not about how much you give. It's about the heart and the motivation with which you're giving it. And God says he blesses a cheerful giver. That we give not out of compulsion, not because we feel we need to, but because we feel we want to. And that we take the seed that he has allowed us to partner with him and place this seed in the ground. And I wonder if you could take that seed in your hand right now as we pray. Father God, I want to thank you for the amazing privilege to partner with you to stake this ground of the northwest of America. Father, we want to see every promise of God fulfilled, everything that has been prophesied. And tonight we take the seed. It's just a sign, and we place it in the ground by faith. And we're calling on you for such a great harvest out of this region, God, that we want to think big. For no mind has seen, no eye has seen, no mind has conceived the things that he has prepared in these days. So, Father, we take this seed and we offer it to you and we ask for you to multiply it. Way beyond our ability, God. Way beyond our ability. And to bless this northwest region for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. If you would come forward and just give your offering. Thank you.
And we love you. We'll never stop. Can't live without you, Jesus. We love you. We can't get enough. All this is for Jesus.
So,
one on. Have I got? Oh, wonderful. Why don't you just stand with me? Pastor Dan, I was going to come. Come. This is prayer for the Northwest. Come on, you're a man that's digging that well of prayer. Let's bring these baskets together. And Father, we're thank just you, asking right yes, now, yes. in Jesus' name, yes, spring up this well, spring up. Yes. I want you to yes. prophesy. I want you to pray. Yes. I want you to call up prayer. Yes. God, we're calling forth yes, prayer in this hour. Yes. We're calling forth men yes. and women and children. Raise up your prayer army. Raise up your prayer army. Raise up your prayer army. Raise them up, God, in these days. We pray that there'll be a mighty sound that comes out of the Northwest. We pray that this man army will rise up. We pray that the women will rise up. We pray the children will rise up. We're asking God for something supernatural to awaken in this day. Do bless us. Hey, hey, hey.
Lord, we declare that this seed will multiply for every good work and every good thing you've ordained in the Northwest.
Yeah.
Lord, we release this seed for revival,
yes,
for an outpouring of worship, for a shift in the government that the kingdom of heaven will invade earth in the Northwest. We declare thy kingdom come, thy will be done
yes.
on earth in the Northwest
yes,
as it is in heaven, O God. Lord, we thank you that it's time for the saints to be favored.
Yes.
That the judgment of heaven is being declared by the Ancient of Days.
Yes, Lord.
And no
Lord.
Longer will the enemy
More.
Prevail over the
More.
Saints. But Lord, we declare
More
a
More
shift
praise.
In Jesus'
yes.
name.
It's
that
shift.
Will release your kingdom government
shift.
And power
More.
And glory. And you will More. Raise up an army of worshipers.
More.
You will raise up a united church
yes,
of one
Lord.
Body. With one God and one Father, one Lord,
yes,
one baptism,
Jesus.
One faith, one God and Father
Hear
of us all,
cry.
United with the unity
Jesus.
Of Psalm 133, O God, that you will command your blessing over the Northwest.
Yes,
and our
Lord.
Only desire is that you would be seen, you and your Son glorified yes. and magnified. There would be a great harvest, we declare, as we plant
yes.
this seed, that we will begin to see a supernatural harvest. Not only the wells opened
yeah.
up, but an ingathering of souls, O God, like we have never seen, O God, that all the world will come to see what you have done in the midst of a dark place with your light and your glory in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
What a treat.
Hallelujah.
Well, Phil, you play that sax beautifully. Would you play it for us one more time? And as he plays it, I want you to hear a new sound being sounded over your marriage, over your schools, over your job situation. You know, I believe God uses instruments. The rest of you instruments play, singers sing. But just really mic that sax for us. There's a sound for you. Oh God, sing over us. Oh, oh, oh. Yeah. Oh, come God, more of you. I want you to put your hands to heaven just for a moment. This is one of the postures of prayer. It says, and in the evening sacrifice, I will lift up my hands and I will pray. So I want you to pray like you've been singing. I want you just to talk to your amazing God. Just tell him how much you love him, how much you want him, how much you need him. Break the sound barrier. Don't pray sealed, pray loud. Just tell him. Speak to the Lord. Bring words to him. Say, oh God, wake up the well within us, God. Wake up the hungry place. God, answer every heart cry. Hear my cry tonight, God. We lift up our hands before you. See our cry. See our cry. Hear our cry, God. Now I want you to do something that's not so American. I want you to take hands with the person next to you. And I want you to lift their hands up. And you'll see something very quickly. It's much easier to lift your hands up when you've got someone next to you. It's a picture of prayer. It's much easier to pray for a long time if you've got someone helping you, holding your hand, sharpening you. That's why these meetings are important. So now lift each other's hands up and pray. Say, oh, I'm going to hold. I'm going to stand with you. We're shoulder to shoulder together for this nation, for this place. We want a new spirit of prayer. Ask God to pour out a new spirit of prayer. God, bind us together. Put a new cry in the house of God. Raise up a cry. Raise up a new standard. Raise it up, God. Teach us to pray in these days. Give us a new fluency. Show us how to pour out our heart before the living God. Oh, Spirit of God. Yeah. Now I want us to have a 60-second strike for America. I want every one of you to think of one of the states of America and just shout it to the Lord and say, I'm bringing it to you, God. Just think how many people we've got here. If all of us take 60 minutes to cry out for one of the states, there's hours of prayer going on right here. Are you ready? Come on, we need the drum. One, two. Oh, come on, give me a strike. One, two, three. Just give me a good strike. Oh, give me a good boom. I want, come on, boom that bass for me. I'm a drummer. Two, three. Are you ready? One, two, three. Call for America. Call for America. Call for the state. Cry out. Pick a state and cry out. 60-second strike. Come on, let's hit the land. Oh, we call on you. Yeah, God. Touch Texas. Break through Texas. Break through California. Break through Wyoming. Break through Alabama. Break through Georgia. Break through. Break through. Maine. We call for Maine. Breakthrough in Maine. Pennsylvania. Connecticut. Idaho. Indiana. We call God. California. Oregon. Washington. Alaska. Hawaii. We call America before the living God. Come on, Missouri. Come on. Bow to the living God. Come on, Montana. Come on. We're calling precious America. Hear the word of the Lord. This is a new day. There's a new sound. There's a new cry. Oh God, breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough for the precious land. New grace, new anointing. Oh, we thank you. And everyone said, amen. 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 Well done. Good strike. Thank you. Yay, God. Do be seated. Well, I'm always mean. I tell you 60 seconds and then I make you go 90. We have the privilege of working with the London M25 Prayer Net, or the London Prayer Net. I've worked with it for 25 years. Thank you, great musicians. I'm going to just share for a little while, and we're going to come back and pray. Because guess what? It is a prayer meeting, so we're going to pray. Hello? Isn't that fantastic? We've worked for 25 years, and I remember when we first started the prayer meetings for London. London is a city of about 8 to 11 million. Why so wide? Well, it depends whether the commuters are in the town or not. 4.3 million people commute into London every day. We began to take London. We sectioned it into 12 sections. We set up 24/7 prayer houses. And we worked for 10, 12 years. And we saw stuff begin to shift in London. We saw the incredible black Nigerian church begin to come and help us where we were lazy and weak. And I tell you, you can never have a quiet prayer meeting if you've got an African in the house. And I'm an African, so I will make it loud. We just, a few weeks ago, you go online, just Google Festival of Life. We had 44,000 people in the Excel Stadium of London. It's a big exhibition. 44,000 people praying from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. for London. And we had to have a massive bell to shut them up because they pray and they pray and they pray and they are praying for God to bless London. I love them. Tonight, you've got a Australians and about 100 other nations praying for America from May the 1st to May the 7th as you come to stand. People are getting behind you because they recognize, come on America, a very strategic time to pray. You're precious. This is time to stake the ground. And tonight I want to share with you what I shared in East Washington. I felt to stake the ground in the east and the west of your precious state. And he said to me, it is time to stake the ground. Helen's given an amazing overview. But God woke me up with this scripture, and it's 2 Samuel 11, verse 1. In the spring of the year, the time when kings go out to battle, David sent Joab and his servants with him and all of Israel. And they ravaged the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained at home. Immediately, three observations jumped out at me. Number one, it was springtime. And what a beautiful place Washington State is in spring. It is fabulous. It is springtime. But already that word has come so many times tonight. There's a shift. There's something moving. You see, springtime is about shifting forward. The hour moves forward. We jump forward. You lose an hour in bed. Uh-oh. You have to get up a bit more. It's an awake time, springtime. The hour shifts. And I felt the Holy Spirit say to me this year, when the hour shifted in springtime, get up, lose an hour in bed, give me an extra hour. It's time to shift. I believe God is asking us to discern the season. You see, there's a new momentum. There's a new mandate. There's a new responsibility. When all over the world people are being woken up to pray for you, what does that say? It says you must need prayer. When do we need prayer? When there's crisis about to happen, when there's disaster. It's not a good time to be sitting at home. But I believe that springtime is not a time for great fear and introspection. Springtime is a time for great growth and great expectations. Great expectation. God says, come on, dream big. Think big or you're going to limit me. You see, it's very easy to let all the fear and the media begin to dictate your future. ISIS is going to get America. Something terrible is going to storm up. The devil has got evil plans. He always has. He always will. The devil can only plan to rob, steal, kill, destroy. But God can only plan to give life, satisfying life, full life, fit, amazing life. So which report will we believe? When we stood at the border of your nation, I felt such an indignation about every plan of the enemy to bring harm and trouble over that border. We sealed it in Jesus' name. We put angelic stations there. We stood the ground. We pour out wine and salt and flour. We took the salt of the covenant, the new wine of the blood of Jesus, which is my defense and the defense of America. We cannot stand on any other covenant than the covenant of our God. We need to get activated. You see, it's springtime. Great expectations. So what is your expectation? Is your expectation for something to go terribly bad? May the 1st, the police had an expectation that riots and disaster would be on your streets. There was a lot of fear. But I thank God for wonderful people who went out, stood on the I-90, stood on the lid and said, no, in Jesus' name, we shut down violence and disaster. They stood with the police today. You know, those dear police looked at them and said, thank you so much for praying. We need it. We so appreciate you. Why you come here? As they went to the Lid Park. And they're all camped there because we've come to pray for no violence. You see, I believe God wants us to be ahead and not the tail. And we should have great expectations. Come on, America. Great expectations. Song of Songs 2, verse 10 to 13 says, my lover said, rise up, my darling, come away with me. Look, winter is past. I believe God is really saying, get up, get up. It's time to rise out of mentalities. It's time to get out of comfort zones. We've got to get out of the places where we've lived and been too comfortable for too long. Get up, rise up, move away, come away. You're never going to live in spring if you're still in a winter comfort zone. In front of your fire with your little snuggie. He says, get up. It's a new season. Come with me. I've got something to show you. I believe God wants to blow a whirlwind on your garden. It's the year of the whirlwind. And the Holy Spirit wants to go, foof. I think it was in Spokane. Every time we prayed, blow your wind. Such a wind blew, I nearly froze because I hadn't got a coat on because it was sunny. It was awesome how God just loves to make you laugh. As we stood there on those university campuses and we prayed for the breath of God to come through the next generation. And the wind blew so strong. Every time we said, blow, breath of God. Phew. I love it when God accents your prayers. You see, great expectations. Many of you want to birth a new movement, but can I say something? No one can have a baby unless you're first expectant. And many of us will not go through the journey of pregnancy. And my journey of pregnancy was a little bit like the Duchess of Cambridge. I threw up all the time. And you see, sometimes that expectancy and hope can make you feel sick to your stomach. Sometimes you could just feel, oh God, do I really have to go this? It feels scary, feels frightening. But unless you get pregnant first, you can never birth the purposes of God. And you get pregnant in the prayer place. That is where the seed and the word of God gets on the inside of you. And the reality begins to be what you're carrying, not what you're seeing. You know that you're carrying the Son of God, the answer, the Savior of the world. You know in your knower what is in me is greater than what's outside, and he is more than able to do everything he says. We've got to get pregnant with God. I feel it for America. How many of you can tell? I feel it for America. It's such a privilege to be in this nation. So I believe God says, ask for rain from the Lord. You see, it's an asking season. That's a praying season. How many of you want to get wet with the presence of God? Well, then it's asking, oh God, pick me. Oh God, soak me. Oh God, let your spirit come on me. Oh God, I need. Ask for his rain in this season of spring. Because he wants to make storm clouds. Shh. Number one, springtime. Number two, kings go out to do battle. Kings go out to do battle. You see, many of us get locked into the mentality that we're just children of a wonderful father, which of course is an absolute revelation of God, but it's not the only picture he gives us. We are daddy's little girl. And we are daddy's boy. Of course that's true. Oh, how he loves us. But we are also part of a kingdom. And we've got to be kingdom mentality. And in a kingdom, there are seasons when it is not sit at home and eat with daddy at the big table and have party time. It's time. Boys, you're part of a kingdom. This is crisis time. This is time to actually go execute the judgments of God. This is time to go and stand as a child of the captain of the army of the Lord of hosts, not just sit on his lap and giggle. Now, I come and I'm married to a military man. My husband, Gordon, was a captain in the Royal Artillery. He comes from a legacy of men who were all honored for their different military service. My husband was honored as the most outstanding officer from Sandhurst Academy, which is like your Warren Point. He won the Sword of Military Valor. His father won the Military Cross, which is like your Purple Heart, for his involvement in the Second World War in the Italian battles. Italy was nasty, and he won the Military Cross. One of the few to win it alive, not dead. That was the courage. And so down my family line, as a Hickson, I know my husband Gordon is named Gordon because he is directly descended from General Gordon of Khartoum. And when Gordon became and won the Sword of Military Honor and was in the passing out parade of Sandhurst Academy, there is a colonel in chief that is chosen to give and present the sword. And it just happened that the day Gordon was passing into the army was the day that his dad was retiring as the colonel in chief. And so they selected him to present the Sword of Valor. He had no idea who had won the sword. Gordon had no idea who would present the sword. It was announced. Gordon comes forward. He's presented the sword, realizes it's his father. His father realizes it's his son. That wasn't a time of, yay, daddy, isn't this exciting? I love my daddy. It was, yes, sir. Shh, shh. When they got home, they celebrated. But you see, I believe this is a solemn occasion when kings are being called. Next picture, please. You see, we might go in as the little cuddly friends of God, but he's looking for something else to come out the prayer room. I think you should have that for man prayer. This is what happens, guys, when you go to prayer. You come out looking great. You can take anything down. The problem is it's usually the lionesses that do the killing. I'm sorry, I lived in Africa. Unfortunately, it's true. So it ruins my story, but never mind. We are a warrior family. We're trained for battle. And we should be ready to fight and stake our ground. We need to discern where are the battle lines and how do we need to engage. We need to discern those times and seasons. What territory is the enemy after? And are we ready to take our ground? You see, David realized in springtime, kings need to go out to battle. Why? Because you see, after a time of winter in the natural, after a time of just sleepiness, everyone has kickback time, there's this playoff of who's going to ring fence their territory, who's going to stake their ground, or can we just snuck in and take away some of the ground? And you see, while the church goes to sleep, the enemy comes in and he just sneaks up and he bites off some of our freedoms. And suddenly we turn around and say, how in the world did that get through? What happened there? Well, you see, there's just a little enemy that's been sneaking in and they just move the fence lines little by little. Often the devil wins by sneak attacks, not by outright warfare. How many of you know what I'm talking? And you suddenly find that your freedom and your right is being pickpocketed one coin at a time. He doesn't take the whole vault. He just steals it a bit. And you wake up and you see this is what was happening in David's day. These marauders just came and they just moved the fence. And they moved the fence. And suddenly your 100-acre plot was now 98 acres. And next year it's 95, and the next year it's 90, and the next year it's 80, and the next year it's 70. And you see, in springtime, it was wake up, go stake your ground. Walk your borders. And I believe, as in the natural, I feel it in my spirit that God is saying, wake up, stake your ground, walk your boundaries. What do I mean by that? Well, begin to really pray in your freedom of legislation, of your religious freedom. That we begin to be able to say, marriage, biblical marriage is Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And biblical marriage can never be defined as anything else. Marriage can be, civil marriage can be, that's fine. But it's not biblical marriage. So they're welcome to define civil marriage how they like. But my Bible already defines for me biblical marriage. A man and a woman shall come together. Adam and Eve shall come together. We have to stake the ground. And maybe, especially in Europe, I will go for jail for that. But I will not back off. My definition of biblical marriage has to be what the Bible says. We can't move it. But how many of you can see there's just a little bit of ground? And God says, you know, in springtime, new expectations of new breakthroughs, we've got to have new definitions because this is what happens in springtime. So we need the face of a soldier. We need to fight the good fight of faith. We need to take hold of the eternal life which we were called and make a good confession. What is a good confession? That word to confess comes from the Greek word homologio. Homo, same, logio, logos, word of God. It literally means that we fight the fight of faith by saying the same thing that God is saying. So heaven and earth say the same things. What is God saying over America? What is God saying for you, precious people, at this time? What is his mandate for your land? What will be, pick up those prophetic words. Begin to say what God say. God, you promise that out of the northwest will come a mighty fire. You promise that something from the west is going to go to the east. You promise that the light would rise in this place. You promise that miracles would reawaken from this ground. You promise that there will be a new awakening upon the young people of this land. Come on, America, let his kingdom come. What does his kingdom look like in America? Start to say what Jesus is saying. Fox News is not your Bible. Fox News does not tell you the truth. The Bible tells you the truth for this day, for this hour. Let's say what Jesus is saying. We spend a lot of time tweeting and texting the latest Rumble story, and I think it causes a lot of fear. But God does not give me a spirit of fear, but He gives me a sound mind, and He gives me love, and He gives me boldness to stand, and having done all, stand. You've got to realize I'm a Mish kid. I grew up in India till I was 16. I served in Africa for 6.5 years. I have had guns put to my head. I have had the threat of jail. I have lived those things. I drove through Zambia when I was 24 years old with my 2 kids in the car. I was stopped at 14 road points, and 5 times I had a gun put to my head and threatened. I know what it is, but inside of me, I said, no, but God who is with me is greater. I've had angelic encounters. I've had angels rescue me. I have my child dying in my arms with cerebral malaria, driving back from Mombasa to Nairobi. I'm not preaching cheap. I've done this. I've lived it. But come on, America. It's time to go to war. You have a strength in you. And there's part of me that says, come on, you pioneers. In Australia, they'd say, man up. But I'm not sure you say that here. Number 3, David remained at home. You see, that's a sad thing, because he didn't see the season. Because he looked and he thought, well, other people are doing it. And it isn't that no one was doing it. He was a good leader in that sense. Joab, he trained well. Now Joab was an excellent leader in the army. He was able to lead out the army. And he took everyone else and all of Israel. And they did go out into the Ammonites, who were those really itises. They just sneaked in all the time. They were known as the little marauders. They just came over and ate a little bit, take a little village, rape the women, steal the stuff, and they'd disappear. And that was the way that the Ammonites were known to fight. They just would come in at night, take a village, plunder it, ransack it, disappear. But Joab went out. He took the people. He ravaged them, besieged them. Which in fact, David remained in Jerusalem. You see, the problem with David is he was living in the wrong season. And he had allowed an attitude of complacency to convince him it was no longer necessary for him to fight. And his lack of vision and understanding of the season meant that he got stuck in the wrong place at the wrong time. I want to say to you, it is not neutral to stay at home. It is not neutral to stay at home. You see, some people say, oh, well, other people are more gifted. I'll just watch this one out. But that's a dangerous game, because it's not neutral. Because all of us, every man, every woman, every child is part of the King's army. And God wants us to take our part. We all have different roles within it, but we don't have the option to opt out and let someone else fight our battles for us. I believe that this is a time like no other time for us to come together for the purposes of God. What would happen if we really began to pray? Well, what I love about this story, that we all know David stayed at home. It went from bad to worse. Because he was out of alignment, he got seduced by the wrong things, and he ended up making bad choices with huge repercussions. The story I read you was 2 Samuel 11, but I love 2 Samuel 18. Springtime has come round yet again. The army is having to go out and battle yet again. This time they look at David and they say, David, you're great, but you're not able to really go out on the front lines and battle. You need to stay at home. And he's like, it's not a good idea to stay at home. And they say, no, David, you need to stay at home. You're too old. He says, no, I'm not staying at home. You'll find this in 2 Samuel chapter 18. And so he says, okay, you go out and fight, but I won't stay at home. I'll stand in the gate of Jerusalem until you come back. And you see, some of us are not called to the front lines. But we're all called to stand on behalf of one another. It's not a sit down and let you do it. It's time to stand. And he stood in the gate of the city. Some of us are the support team. But I felt God say this: you can stay at home and be the support team, but don't stay at home and be the absent team. I remember one of the times when God really got hold of my life. I was in Kenya, Nairobi. We'd been working with Reinhard Bonnke for about 18 months. I just had my second baby, David, who was a difficult baby because he cried all the time. He was about 9 months old, and at that time, Gordon was traveling Africa. He was most probably away for 7 to 9 weeks, and I saw him for 5 days. And then he'd go for the next one. I had two small children, foreign nation, and I was pretty alone. I got pretty self-pitying. Dear Jesus, here I am doing all this for me, and look what you do for me, not a lot. Anyone ever feel, where do we get this entitlement idea from, that God owes it to me? Seriously, we need our heads examining. But anyway, I was in entitlement zone. Look what a nice person I am. I've sold my house, sold my business. I'm living in Africa in a hard place. My husband's traveling with Jesus, and poor me, I'm all at home alone. And I got down a spiral. Then Gordon came back to Kenya. We began doing missions in Kenya. So we were in Nairobi, Mombasa, Nakuru, all over. Now I could go, I could engage, I could be there. But suddenly I was this wonderful, supportive wife. It's all right, sweetheart, you go to the prayer meeting, I'll just stay in tonight. It's fine, sweetie, you go to the leaders' meeting, I'll just be here. It looked wonderful. What an incredible, humble wife who would always babysit for the kids, who never stressed about it. But you know why? I was backslidden. You see, I wasn't staying at home to support. I was staying at home to be absent. I didn't really want to be there. I'd lost my fire. And only you know in the bottom of your heart whether you are there at home. But everything is in you. I'm standing at the gate. I'm praying them through. I'm willing them through. Or I'm like, yeah, you go. I'm checked out. I'm doing my thing. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you have had that season at some time in your life? Come on, let's be honest. Because we all go through it, but I believe God is wanting to say to us tonight, come on, that you have great power of choice. I preached about it on Sunday, that I believe this is such a strategic time to give God a big yes. You see, by being here tonight, you've not just put a bottom on a chair. Spiritually, you've said a big yes to heaven. You knew what this is about, and there's something in you that's saying, I'm in, God. I'm for you. I want to cry for the Northwest. I want to pray. I want something to shift. You see, that's a big yes into heaven and earth and all that are on the earth. We don't understand the alignment of our choices shifts things. Even Jesus had to come to that point of decision. John 10 says, you know, I'm a good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He knew his mandate and why he had to come. But in John 12, we get a window into the emotional cost of that. It always touches me. Every Easter I read this and I thank Jesus that he went through that emotional turmoil. Oh, now my heart is troubled. God, do I really have to do it? The sacrifice, the cost. In a moment, yes, God, you use me, pick me. But now I'm beginning to realize the implications of really living a laid down life. I want to say to you, God said this to me Easter time. There is great power in a truly laid down life. So Jesus, even Jesus, stands in the Garden of Gethsemane. Should I pray, Father, save me from this hour. Get me out. But then he gave his big yes for you and me. No! It is for this very reason. This is the cause. This is the reason I'm living for such a time as this. This is why right now I'm living in North Washington. So, Father, I want to be a glory carrier. Because it's time to dig ditches. He's looking for our big yes to become part of his work squad for the Northwest. You see, sometimes we can feel that if a thing is Holy Spirit directed, it should just be easy. It should be like little goosebumps. We should just float. And it would just be so Holy Spirit. Can I just say something? In my experience, prayer is jolly hard work. There, I have to say, there are times when I really know that God really visits, and it's easy, and it's the most wonderful thing. But there are many, many times when the last thing I want to do is get out of my bed and get up and start praying for people I don't know that much, or people who don't really care about me that much, or a government that I don't really like that much, or for education that really I'm finished with. My kids are out of school. I'm done. You know, but it's like, Holy Spirit goes, beep, beep, beep. Beep, beep, beep. He's a more reckless, ruthless alarm than any alarm. Beep, beep, beep. Beep, beep, beep. 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 And you see, we've swallowed the lie that if it doesn't feel good, it isn't doing any good. Can I tell you, I don't believe that's true. How many of you believe that it felt good to Jesus to hang on the cross? I bet there wasn't one good feeling. Can you imagine when his own father turned, Father, no, don't forsake me. He'd never, ever had any distance. That didn't feel good. But the greatest triumph ever routed in all of our history was routed in the midst of pain and suffering and perseverance and stubbornness and deep anguish. God broke through. So I'm afraid, British, European, American Christians, it's going to hurt, but it's going to be great because we're going to see the birthing of our dreams. I finish with this, 2 Kings 3. Now bring me a musician. Then it happened when the musicians came. And you can begin to get ready, musicians. That the Lord said, make this valley full of ditches. And the Lord says, you won't see wind or rain, but the valley will be filled with water. And all your animals and all the land will drink, and breakthrough will happen. Why do I read this? You see, I believe before we're going to see the mighty outpouring of the power of the Holy Spirit in the Northwest, hitting the places we want it to hit, we need to dig some ditches. We need some storm drains. That is what prayer is. Prayer is getting a shovel, putting it in some jolly hard ground, whacking it in. And every time you men get together and pray, you shovel some earth. Every time us girls get together and pray for marriage, we shovel some earth. And you see, what we're doing is if we need to be specific and on target, don't just be like popcorn, oh, well, dig a hole here and dig a hole here, throw the dirt in the air, it doesn't matter. No, let's be strategic, informed, inspired, deliberate intercession, intentional. God, I want, which neighbor do you want blessed by God? God, I want that neighbor. The one in 14762. Every time you run, right now, in Jesus' name, I pick my shovel and I make a path. You see, we start building intentional storm drains to the mayor's office, to the neighbor's office, to our governmental things. We begin shovel at a time for days, for years, it might be nothing, but suddenly the ditch is complete. The rain begins to come. And guess what? We channel the power of the Spirit of God. Boom! Against that door. And the suddenly that took forever suddenly happens. Amen. The suddenly that took forever. And I believe that. So I believe God is asking us, are you ready to arise? In springtime, the lions are ready. This is your day. Oh, come, Holy Spirit. So why don't you stand with me? Oh, just come, God. Oh, we welcome you. I believe that God wants to put out a fresh anointing upon us to pray. I believe he wants to call out an amazing prayer army. But just say, okay, God, I don't know if I'm very good at it, but I'm ready to learn. But I want to start right at the beginning, and we just want to pray for Holy Spirit to come on you. And I'll be real honest with you. Maybe the reason I've worn red and I've preached with real passion is because I've been in the hand of God. About summertime last year, God got hold of me, and I had one of those countertop moments where God sits you down and says, look here, girl, we need to talk. I had had so many people prophesy of my life. There's another level. There's new doors. There's new things. Nearly every meeting I went to, they picked me or they stopped me and said, God has got new doors for you, new influence. You're going to do this and that. And inside, it terrified me because I already felt I was at max capacity. I didn't know how I could go up a level, take more pressure. I felt overwhelmed. So God stuck me on his countertop and he looked at me and he said, you know why, Rachel, you can't do it, don't you? You know why you feel so overwhelmed? So I said, no, I'm very confused. And he said, because you're not digging deep enough in prayer. He said, if you will take a bit more time to dig in prayer, you will up the water level on your life. And your life is like a boat. And according to the water level is the boat. But he said, your boat has got so big and your prayer life hasn't got deeper. So you're now on a very big boat and it's about to, that's why you feel at any minute, I'm going to be sandbanked. And there's many people in here. You see, God has taken you up a level. You're now married. You've got greater responsibility, more money, etc. But you've carried on building the boat, but you haven't kept digging the canal. This nation has gone up a level. There's much responsibility on America, but if the church won't help dig the river under this nation, it will sandbank. It will get stuck. He's looking for people. Dig. And so God smacked my backside, told me straight out, I've been lazy. And I'm sorry, I've been lazy. I spent hours reading the word and preparing, but I've lost and had given up a lot of my Rachel Jesus just digging into my life. And so I've been, last 6 months, been on a journey. Got hold of me. Quite a lot of you said, oh, you've lost weight, you're looking at it. Yeah, because God smacked my backside and said, start sorting out your body. I healed you from a road traffic accident, gave you back your legs, not so that you could have knee replacement or other surgery. Sort your weight, sort your lifestyle, sort your prayer. I've been under the hand of God. In July, August, September this year, I'm taking 3 months out of all ministry, the sabbatical. God told me very clearly, he said, you better go back to the prayer room and practice how to pray. Because I want to use you. But I can't use you as you are. You've got to go another level, to go up another level. So I'm not preaching this at you. I'm preaching this to me. I'm under the fear of the Lord at the moment. Because I can see the nations hanging in the balance. And I stand here today and say, God, please pick me. If you can use me, pick me. But it won't all feel nice. And so that's my call tonight. If you know that there, you're just saying to God, I'm ready for you to use me. I'm ready to give my big yes. I'm ready to learn to pray. But I'm also ready to make the adjustments. I'm also ready to let go and let God. And is it easy? No, it hasn't been totally easy. I'll be honest. Some of it's hard work. But I can't afford to miss my springtime with him. And I feel that for Washington. I feel it for this house. I feel it for so many of you I know. Come on. There's a new grace. It's new favor. There's a new outpouring. But you've got to say, just like Jesus, okay, God, here I am. I'm ready for this hour. Pick me. Even if it's a bit of hard work. But I believe it's that. That's what John Wesley saw. Shifted my nation and yours. That's what Evan Roberts saw. And in 8 years, saw over 100,000 people come to Jesus of Wales. 100 years ago. Bend me. So we come. So find a space. I want to just say I'm opening the altars. You find a space with God. I can't pray this for you. But I am asking you to move from where you are if you are saying to God, this is a yes for me. People are in the middle. Make it easy for them to get out. Find some space. And you know what God's asking you to do. Oh, come. If you're married and you're both coming forward, then come together. This isn't for everyone, but it is for some of you. So you come. And I believe these times are very specific. You don't have to kneel unless you want to. For some of you, that's difficult. You could stand, you could kneel, you could lie down. You do what you need to do. Oh, we come. Oh, that I am. Here I am. Stir a fire in my heart. We can go back to that song.
Say to us.
No, the song we sang before. Stir this fire deep in my heart. Sorry. I want something we can sing. Stir the fire deep within my heart. We sing.
So set a fire down in my soul.
Sing it slowly. Tain that I can't control.
I want more of you, God. I want more,
more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can contain, that I can control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Make it your prayer. Fire down in my soul that I can contain, that I can control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Oh, set a fire down in my soul that I can contain, that I can control. I want more of you, God. Oh, I want more of you, God. Oh, set a fire down in my soul that I can contain, can control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Fire down in my soul. down. Just pray to him. Oh God, come upon me. Pour upon me. Tell him what you want. Oh God, I need you. God, I'm asking you to come upon me. God, pour out your hearts to the Lord. There are times to draw near to God. Just pour your heart out. Oh God, I need you more. God, I'm asking you to touch me in a deeper measure. God, break off my life every prayerlessness. God, I'm so sorry where I haven't done what you've asked me to do. Oh God, pour it out, pour it out, pour it out upon me. Put a new anointing upon me tonight, God. Put a new desperation in my heart. Put a new sacrifice on my heart. Oh God, help me, help me, help me, God. Yeah, God. Oh, open up the wells, God. Open it up, God. Open it up. Open up the cry for God. Open it up even this day. Open it up. Open up the well. Open up the well. Open up the well. Oh, just be free to stand, kneel. But just press into God. Just press into God. Just press into God. John, just press into God. Just press into him. Press into him. Fresh anointing come upon you. A fresh anointing. Receive fresh oil to pray. A fresh grace to pray. A fresh grace to press through when it's hard, when it's tough, when it's difficult. Just say, oh God, give me a tenaciousness. Give me a stubbornness in this spirit. Help me dig and dig and dig and dig. Oh, we need you, we need you, yeah. So right now, I want you to bring your words because they're powerful. Just tell God, God, I'm here for you. Just break that sound barrier. Pray to him. Tell him why you're kneeling here. Say, God, this is what I need from your hand. God, I'm asking for you to touch me. God, I'm asking for you to come upon me. Call upon him while he's here. Call upon him while he's near. Call upon him while he's near. Oh God, we're asking for a supernatural anointing of your Holy Spirit to teach us to pray. Just pray in the spirit. Pray, pray, pray. Just open up that prayer world. Pray to him. I break off prayerlessness. I break off the prayerlessness of my life. God, forgive me for every prayerlessness. God, forgive us for all our prayerlessness. Oh, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Teach me to pray, God. Kia ko shamda kata hee. Kia ko shamda kati yeshinde. Stir it, God. Stir it, stir it, stir it, stir it, stir it. Wake it up. Wake it up. Wake it up, wake it up, wake it up. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Just sing it over them. Come, Holy Spirit.
We wait for you to come and show your glory. Yeah.
Yes, Lord.
We wait for you to come and show your glory here today.
Come with great expectations.
We wait for you.
expectations. You come and show your glory here today. Put your hand on someone next to you and just sing this over them. Oh, I'm going to see the glory of God on your life. Just pray for one another. We all need help. Make it a house of prayer. Let's bless each other, anoint each other, stand with each other. Till your glory here in me. Oh, wait. Oh, we wait. Come, Holy Spirit. Refresh us, awaken. Wake us up, Lord. Come, holy, holy, holy. Oh, fill us, fill us, fill us with your glory, God. We need more of you, so much more, so much more. Oh, come more, So why don't we dedicate our lives?
Give you everything.
You precious people.
Worship you.
Just offer your life as a living sacrifice. And I've learned I'm not very good at prayer. How many of you have learned you're not very good at prayer? I always smile when I travel all around the world and they always say, she's a prayer, amazing prayer person. I always think, I wish I really, really was. But you know what I've discovered about prayer? Bottom line, it's just talking to God about what's on your heart. And that's what God is asking for tonight. Will you just give me a little bit more time to talk to me? God spoke to me a while ago and he said, will you stop texting me? I want a real conversation. And I suddenly realized that my prayer life had become, God, I need help. God, I need a parking place. God, can have a, will you sort this? God, it was just like texting. God, I need. God, thanks. God, da, da. And I developed a text life. But God says, I don't want a text. I want a story. So I want to pray for you right now that God's going to give you joy in the place of prayer. And he's going to make you fluent in prayer. Helen, my amazing colleague, you shared the prayer journey. She's fluent in English, as you discovered, and German, and Arabic. She's half Egyptian, speaks languages and understands a lot. I'm just about fluent in English, although my English teacher still doesn't think so. But I've named that my prayer. God, make me fluent in prayer. Let me that be my language. Teach me to pray. If that's your heart, just put your hands up right now. Father, I just pray for a new anointing upon these precious people. Will you give us a new language of prayer? Teach us how to pray. Put a new fluency upon us. And just like, well, for me, learning French was a nightmare. And just like when learning a language can be hard work, give us the guts to press through the early stages to get fluent, to get fluent. So we pray now in Jesus' name that your Holy Spirit, who teaches prayer, become the personal tutor of everyone here. He wants to tutor you. And right now, we break off failure. Just say, I take off shame. I take off all the blame about my poor prayer life. I won't live under condemnation. I confess my prayerlessness and I ask you, God, to forgive me. Now forgive yourself. Don't beat yourself up about it. Just say, okay, God, I'll let it go. Don't beat yourself up about it. Let it go. Because he makes you clean. Whiter than the snow, he makes you clean. Cleaner than you could ever know. He makes you clean. So behold him face to face. Look at your Jesus and begin to pray. Just talk to Jesus right now, right across this house. Just talk to God for a moment. Just talk to him. Just say, God, I started by just saying, God, I'm really sorry. I've missed you. I'm sorry that my language has got so bad, but God, just begin to show me how to keep talking. Just help me talk to you, God. What do you want to talk about? Which story do you want today? God, here I am. Here's my heart. Here's my life. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Oh, ooh, ooh. He loves you. Now I wonder, just got a few moments. If you just stand with me for a moment. Because come on, maybe we came in pussycats, but we're going to go out lions. Come in shoulder to shoulder, heart to heart. And I wonder if there's some kings ready to go out to battle for something. Come on. There's a bit of ground that we need to put our feet down for in Jesus' name. So I want the roar of prayer to come out of you. Come on, what have you seen that the enemy's made you mad about? There needs to come a cry. No, not on our watch. You're not taking our children. You're not taking our marriages. You're not putting this. Come on, let's pray and say, oh God, hear our cry tonight. We turn back every plan of the enemy. Come on, let's go up to battle. Oh God, hear our cry. Hear our cry for the next generation. Hear our cry for the marriages. Hear our cry. Oh, come Holy Spirit, have a mighty breakthrough. We're praying that you put a spirit of war upon us, God. We thank you. We thank you that you're going to raise up your voice in this place. Come on, press in a bit more. I want 2 minutes of war from you. Come on. Put that foot down. Get off. Get off this land of America. Leave America alone. We secure the borders. Leave this nation alone. Every battle, every warfare coming against America, leave America alone. Leave America alone. Leave America alone. Back off. Back off. Back off. We say this is the year of the whirlwind. This is the year for an outflowing of the Holy Spirit. This is the year for great things. This is a year for great breakthroughs. This is a year for marriages to be restored. This is a year for children to come back to God. We cry out for sons and daughters. We say, come on, you prodigals, return, return. Every prodigal, return, return. We call them children. Come on. Wake up in Jesus' name. And Father, we pray that there'll be a mighty outbreaking of healing. God, we pray, let the sickness be routed. Let healing be released. Oh God, we say it's enough cancer in the church. Enough cancer in the church. Enough death in the church. God, we say, oh, let your healing be outflowed. Healing. Just pray in the spirit. Oh God, hear our cry tonight. Hear our cry. 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 Hear our cry, O God, tonight. Put a righteous spirit of indignation in us. Put a righteous spirit of indignation in us. It was like as you stood here, I saw like the wall. And the watchman stand on the wall. And I just feel for some of you men, some of you women. I don't know why, I've just got this thing when I'm in this house. Come on, you men. There's a cry that God wants to put in the men. And I want to ask every man here to begin to. It's like you're standing on that wall and you a cry of irritation comes. Not on my watch. And I want you to pray particularly Lift your voices against the sex trafficking, the pornography, all that's gone on. And I want to say, men get blamed for a lot, but it's as much a girl's problem as well these days. We can't blame, it's not a blame shame thing, because, I mean, we live in Oxford, we just had 19 men arrested, but it was the girls who worked with it. It's been a terrible thing. It's men and women. But I want you, first of all, you men, to begin to let that lion roar, not on our watch any longer. We're going to break it. And then come on, girls, we're going to join them. So can we give the 1, 2, 3.
House, we go 1, 2, 3, and Russell Crowe, as the gladiator said, if we fight by ourselves, they'll beat us. But if we fight as one, they won't defeat us. And see, when the body of Christ in the Northwest fights as one man, and we do 1, 2, 3 as one, you can join us. There's 10 groups that do it. We do it every Friday morning twice. There's something in men that love this. After my 3-year-old grandson was here at my birthday party, 170 men, 75 men showed up. He went home and they made a video of him. You know what he did? He imitated Grandpa. They said, "Why do you love Grandpa?" And he goes, "As one." Another man brought his 11-year-old son. He sat in here and watched the men. And when his dad got him back in the car, he said, "What do you think?" And he goes, "Dad, that was awesome." Brought him at 6 in the morning. Andre, our African-American youth pastor, his son gets mad at him. His 5-year-old son gets mad at him if he doesn't wake him up to come to man prayer. He drives from Renton. His son has to get up at 5 in the morning, and he gets mad at his dad if he doesn't bring him to man prayer. We're going to do 1, 2, 3 is what I want. It's going to go across this. Lance Walnut taught us this. You guys get ready. You have to go like this, and you have to come down. I want you to hear what happened when men of God get together and say, "We're going to be as one in this region. We're going to be as one." You guys ready? Show them how it's really done. Stop the music. We don't want the music to interfere right now. This is a sound that's coming from the men. There's a music that comes from the men. Ready? 1, 2, 3. As one! That's all good. We'll do it again. 1. You're getting better. You got to raise the volume. 1, 2, 3. As one!
That's what I like. So come on in shoulder to shoulder. And with one heart, one voice, one mind, we're going to call America. God bless. Come on, let's redeem it from a cliche. I'm sick of the cliche. Body, soul, mind, spirit, being. Alignment. I want you to send a word of blessing. Come on, Maine, Baltimore needs it. It's May the 1st, says, you know, police are fearing unrest. We're going to send an outrageous cloud of favor and blessing that so sweeps over this nation. Because it's not about, it's something from deep. It says, no, get off. Blessed God. Girls can shout too. We got a tiger in our tank. How many men would say you've seen the tiger in your girl's tank? They can get pretty mad. Come on, girls, use it for God. So 1, 2, 3, shout. Come on. I say, God bless America. God bless this nation. Shout for your land. Oh, God bless. Bless this nation. Pour your amazing blessing. Oh, let America know the goodness of God. Let it be overwhelmed. Now, in Jesus' name. And everyone said? Amen. How many fell asleep in the prayer meeting? No sleep. No. Yay. My kids are like Dan's. When I went to the prayer meeting, my parents are Mishkid preacher's kids. I had two brothers, and I'd always set them up to see how many of the elders' shoelaces they could tie to the chairs. Because they were so boring. And I'd get them to crawl underneath the chairs, and they'd crawl between them and tie all the shoelaces, see if they could get back in their chair before the final amen of the hymn, or for the prayer of everlasting length. To... And they were all very good in those days. They closed their eyes. When my kids went to the prayer meeting in Africa with dear Reinhardt. I remember David when he was 14 years old. He was bigger than me then. He looked me in the eye and said, "Mom, just leave it be. You ruined me. I can't sin too bad, you know that, but just let me try." So, Father, we pray for the children. We want to infect them with a heavenly virus. We pray right now that you will infect them from their young years with the heavenly virus of the presence of God. That whatever they do, wherever they go, they're trapped by the goodness of God. They can't get away from it. It's captivated them. God, give us the 5-year-old. Take me to the church. Give us the 10-year-old. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Give me the kids crying out for the house of God. God, we pray, start a whole movement of Jesus across the land. Infect them with the heavenly virus. In Jesus' name. Amen. You done? You done well. Give someone a hug and say, "You are awesome. I love praying with you." I think we'll let it be.